It's the old Doctor Who show, episode number 24, The Rebos Operation.
Go forward in all your beliefs and prove to me that I am not mistaken in mine.
You couldn't control my mind before, and you certainly can't control it now.
Would you like a jelly baby?
The TARDIS, when working properly, is capable of many amazing things.
The reverse polarity of the neutron flow is that the TARDIS would be free of the force field.
Well, the TARDIS is more than a machine. It's
a utility.
It's
my first. Resulting reaction. Despite it.
Are you ready?
All right, welcome back to the old Doctor Who show, your classic Doctor Who review podcast. I am your host, Eric.
And I'm your other host, Dan.
We are here to talk to you today about Keys of Time. But before that...
It's a real key party we got
is.
Going on
it's
here, guys.
Where we're
going
to have intercourse...
Intergalactic.
...with each other's mates. Is that...
Hey, guys. So
are
that
we still
clean
a
rating
clean
is up the...
rating podcast?
Sure.
Yeah, so we're not going to talk about swinging until the end. So anyway, what's
hours.
Happening, Dan? It's been a while.
What is happening? Well, let's do our now recurring segment of what the heck is happening with classic Doctor Who streaming. And here's what's up to speed.
Yeah,
nothing.
No news.
Nothing.
There hasn't been any news that I've seen about like the streaming service just in general. Sometimes you see tech things like, oh, this is what we think is going to be happening. There's like been nothing about it. Because I didn't realize either. It's not just Doctor Who. It's everything. Mm. Which meant I went to watch Alan Partridge again on Hulu, which was one of the things that I was so happy about with Hulu, and all of that is gone too.
So it's all BBC content is now...
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it's all BBC content. Doctor
all the stuff
Who
that was
and,
streaming.
Alan Partridge or all the Steve Coogan stuff that I love.
I'm
going to
guess Torchwood, et cetera, all that stuff is going to be...
So it's probably the... Yeah, as we suspect or
did
they
you check
said,
to see?
A BBC streaming service is coming... But couldn't they have timed it better? Like, they're encouraging people to torrent and steal and because there's no...
Yes, they are.
I mean, I guess you can still buy it, but you give someone...
They're encouraging me to buy it. I've been doing it.
So they're
from,
making money off of you.
iTunes.
And Netflix is making money off me because I'm doing the DVDs.
Yeah.
Speaking of DVDs, talk about... This is like one of the best transitions, I think, in the podcast business. If you're interested in buying a DVD, Dan, were you aware that you can go to theolddoctorwhoshow.com, you can click on our schedule button, and next to every story that we're going to review, there is a link to buy the DVD that goes through Amazon, and we'll get a piece of a little taste, as they say.
Pie?
Yeah, they say like a taste. Usually when they're... some guy's got a bag of cocaine, and then he cuts it with a knife. My wife, and I have to give my wife credit for this, gets so mad at that because you cut into the bag to take, like, and then it's going to be spilling cocaine for the rest of the day when you're trying, like, the bad drug dealers are going to be putting the bag. Like, why not just carefully open it up, then taste it and close it and take, like, they're always cutting it with a knife, tasting it, and then doing that awful smile. The cocaine is getting
everywhere. But they're not typically doing it.
It's not very practical.
They're not doing it in like Ziploc bags, so it's really hard to make sure the seal's okay.
It's just like, come on, guys. That's all police have to do is
these
just follow the trail of white lady, as they say it, on the streets. So anyway, that's cocaine. What else do we have? What else do we have on our list of things to cover before we get to Doctor Who?
Oh, hey, how was, and I apologize in advance for not getting there.
How was the Comic-Con was fine. Yeah. I got no...
Fine. Yeah. Okay, guys, so don't bother ever going because it's just
it
fine.
It was okay. It wasn't that, I didn't do that great. I'm a straight up honest person. I like the full transparency. It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine. I have done better shows as far as like how much stuff I sell. I didn't get anyone asking for or mentioning the podcast, and that, again, if you ever see me at a show and you mention it, I will give you some kind of discount or a free book or something. So keep that.
If you see him in the supermarket.
The supermarket's off. You can't talk to me or make eye contact with me in the supermarket. Anytime we're around food, that is totally inappropriate. This is a one time only for comic conventions.
Gotcha.
I was saying to you, I know there was a new, and we'll be brief, Doctor Who companion announcement, which I hate. Not that I hate, and I don't hate the companion. I've not seen it.
He hates Doctor Who.
I just hate the fact that we live in a world where that's how everything has to get announced, and we have trailers for trailers, you know, like enough with the preview culture that we're in, where you have to know every detail about everything. I want to find out about the companion through the story. Like, it just, and I understand that people are going to leak it. Somebody's going to find an IMDb page or some kind of casting, and they're going to release, this is who the new companion is, and the BBC wants.
In fact, I think they already,
maybe they already did.
I think they did before that. Yeah.
But I just hate, I hate all of it. I just, like, and Twin Peaks, I love Twin Peaks, and like, you're seeing people posting cast lists and everything. I don't want to know any of that.
I think they even released some photos from the set or something.
Yeah, there's too much of that. But I know you watched it. So I feel like
you
I'm the old guy.
You are like the ultimate spoiler hater.
I am.
Like,
don't.
You really want to come into a new thing completely fresh, not knowing anything.
Exactly.
Whereas I can come into it and will have forgotten everything I already saw. So I'm like a newborn baby. Like
every time is new.
Every time is the first time. Yeah, so they announced the new companion. They announced it with a trailer that is straight up just an entire 2.5 minute scene. So there's nothing else around it. Right. It's just like, here's a segment of a scene, and it's fine.
I cleared it with you. This is not like a short film introducing, like a self-contained beginning end short movie.
No.
It's like a scene from an upcoming episode that they just cut the whole scene out.
Seemingly, yeah, because it's in the middle of something is happening. I'm going to be very vague because you don't want to know anything about it, but something is in the middle of happening, and this is a back and forth between these two. It's not like the short mini episodes we've been getting before the reboot shows, like the Ponds had their own thing, and
I thought it was
before the War Doctor, all that stuff. No, this is,
and if it had been something like that, I totally would have watched it.
Right, you'd be on board because that's actually now part of the show. But this is part of the show.
So, what are your impressions? And we'll, you know, be brief. Or
I'm not excited, but you know, this is me. I will hate it and then I'll love it.
Not excited, but, because of the woman, or just the banter, or the writing, or just the whole thing.
The banter was fine. I didn't particularly like her all that much. I mean, it's two.
Yeah,
and
it's like
minutes.
You can't.
There's nothing I can really get out of it. She was actually kind of funny, and they're doing this kind of almost meta thing with her in this scene, seemingly, like, you'll see. Okay. But
so not positive,
it didn't get me super excited about it. So okay, whatever. It's also hard to be excited because there's not going to be anything until the Christmas episode. So that's the entire summer, fall, winter until we get to that. So it's so far in advance. Like, you're right, they had to release it just to be ahead of, or to control a story about it, but it does nothing for me because I want it now.
That being said, let's talk about old episodes of Doctor Who, which we can control, such as the Rebos operation. Should we jump into that? Unless you have anything else. You have anything else you want to throw at me?
No, let's
get into it. I want to talk about it. I like this. All right, it was a spoiler. I guess I just spoiled what my opinion was.
I will forget about it.
Doctor, you have been chosen for a vitally important task.
It's very flattering, sir.
It concerns the key to time. You know of the key to time?
Well, I've heard a few stories, you know, legends, myths, that sort of thing.
It is no myth.
Sorry, sir.
The key to time is a perfect cube which maintains the equilibrium of time itself. It consists of 6 segments, and these segments are scattered and hidden throughout the cosmos. When they are assembled into the cube, they create a power which is too dangerous for any being to possess.
Well hidden, then, I hope, sir.
There are times, Doctor, when the forces within the universe upset the balance to such an extent that it becomes necessary to stop everything.
Stop everything?
For a brief moment only.
Ah.
Until the balance is restored. Such a moment is rapidly approaching. These segments must be traced and returned to me before it is too late. Before the universe is plunged into eternal chaos.
All right, it's the Rebos operation. This is the first story of the 16th season, 1978. We're finally out of 1977.
Thank God.
A mysterious figure known as the White Guardian sends the Doctor on a quest to recover the 6 segments of the Key to Time, Dan, which happens to be a powerful artifact that can restore balance to the universe or destroy it. To aid in this quest, the Doctor is assigned a new companion, Ramana. She has a longer name, which I should have wrote down and I didn't, but happens to be a fellow Time Lord. The Doctor and Ramana trace the first segment to the planet Rebos, which I pronounced Ribos for several years leading up to the viewing of this episode, where they discover 2 grifters who are using it to try and swindle an exiled tyrant. This is written by Robert Holmes, directed by George Spenton Foster of the George Spenton Fosters. And that is a great episode.
The New Haven Spenton.
So what do you think, Dan? What did you think? I already blew it before, so I'm just going to tell everyone I liked it.
I like a lot of it. Actually, no, I like the episode as a whole. I'm so excited. Everyone, I say this all the time. I'm so excited
your
to have. It has continuity. Yeah. It has an overarching story. It's got. I'm excited about that. So the opening right away with the Guardian was cool. I'm psyched. Overall, good episode. Cool characters. Some weird stuff that didn't need to be in it. So that was strange, but I can talk about that
later. Well, sticking with the Guardian, because I saw that and I'm like, oh, Dan's going to love this because it's this whole thing. It's such a weird, surrealist thing where he's outside. The Guardian's in a wicker chair. He looks like the Colonel from KFC is sitting down drinking like Ecto Cooler. He's got like some green.
And he had a bucket of chicken next to him.
And he's just chomping down. And it's weird. And
there's wind chimes playing in the background the whole time.
The way they shot it too, like it's almost all in that long shot, which was kind of, you know, I don't know, because they didn't want to do any too many close-ups on Tom Baker's face, which eventually we're going to get to.
Oh, boy.
My initial thing was, oh, he's got space herpes. it's not the case. I don't know if you looked it up. Yeah, he had been attacked by a dog.
With herpes.
Yeah, that was actually the twist ending. But, you know, if you're not careful, if you don't protect yourself, you don't know, you know, what you're going to end up with.
He was asking for it.
But that it gave it like an extra sort of weird element, the fact that it was always in that sort of long shot where you had the Tom Baker on, you know, screen right, and then the Guardian, this like weird white thing. And I'm still, myself, not quite sure who they are. They're not really Time Lords. They're sort of like good versus, because they mention a Black Guardian. But who are they?
Right.
And they have enough influence over the Doctor where he's like, nothing's going to happen to you if you don't do this, where the implication is nothing is going to happen. And he somehow controls reality where he could, you know. I don't know. It's weird. Did you do any research?
I liked the introduction of it. Yeah, I did. Just because I was curious as well. But backing up, the fact that so the Doctor's in the TARDIS talking to K-9, who apparently, little tangent here, this is K-9 Mark II. So K-9 Mark I, the original K-9 left with Leela and is with her. And apparently, I guess the Doctor built this new one in an episode we didn't see at the end of season 15.
Oh, interesting.
That's basically
okay. I thought that they just modified K-9 and that was the same K-9. So this is actually a separate.
This is a separate K-9. Apparently, in some novelizations and Big Finish radio shows, they K-9 and Leela have adventures
and had a baby.
So they're inside the TARDIS.
Right.
The Doctor's planning a little getaway, romantic getaway with him and K-9 Mark II, and the power goes out completely. The door opens, a flood of golden light, and we know from what's happened in the classic series, but especially what's happened in the reboot series or the newer series, that nothing can get through the TARDIS. You can't. That's just, you know,
it's impenetrable. Right.
Except that every time that the Doctor mentions it's impenetrable, because it's been penetrated. So, wow, this is not a clean episode.
No, it's a sexy episode, but that's fine.
It really is. So, but that was really, really, for me, it was super effective. It was like, oh, this is something huge that's happening, and the booming voice of God sort of feel to it.
Right, and
it,
the set.
That- and then the Doctor says, like, you know, no one could do this except, and then he says, you know who it is.
Right.
And the implication is the Doctor has an understanding of who these Guardians are. So
and the world that the Guardian's on also sort of looks like the Teletubby set. Did you get that? Like, I kept expecting to see a baby's head in the sun. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I didn't get that so much as a kind of a Tim Burton vibe, but
yeah,
okay.
I'll go Teletubbies. Or Tim Burton. But sticking with the white. Now
he's actually doing the Teletubbies movie.
Wait,
What?
That would be great. No. Why did you? Yeah,
that would be great.
God.
I would totally
right.
watch
I was
that.
Down. I was Sorry. Like, oh, what am I wasting Sorry. My time with Doctor Who for? I'm gonna
so go to my GoFundIt page
and make it happen. But what I had seen, sort of reading about this episode, I guess the Black Guardian has returned in the newer series. Is this true?
What?
I think. No, we never seen the Black Guardian again.
I've never seen no.
All right, maybe I hallucinated.
Get out of here with your internet lies. So what I was doing with from the research at TARDIS.wikia.com, there are apparently six Guardians that we'll find out about. Two of them will appear in this series. Spoilers. So there's the White Guardian, who's the one that we met, Colonel Sanders, who is, trying to keep all of time and space in the balance of good. The Black Guardian is his counterpart and wants chaos and evil, as you do. And then there's four other ones that seem to be minor things that come up later.
And you are correct.
I did look it up.
I was way off. But the Black Guardian does return again. It's just the episodes were not new series. It's more classic series. So we're going to see them again in Terminus. I think Terminus is on our list.
Yeah.
So I'm a failure.
I think we're doing
at everything.
Yeah, you are. But we're doing this entire. We're going to do this.
We do this
run
whole run, but then this is later of, on with Peter Davison.
Oh, okay. Because I think we do see him in this as well.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah,
so
hope,
there's Guardians.
So.
Apparently, they control everything. It's a strange thing. Like, it definitely feels like in the classic series, they're making up the mythology as they go along, which is fair because they are. It's their universe, but it just seems so strange. Like these ultimate beings. I don't know. It just.
Yeah, I'm okay. I think it
should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I was like 100% down on that, and I like the whole idea that the Key of Time is made of six segments, and you have to go and explore and find them. And it feels a little bit like in Marvel they have like the Infinity Stones, and there's six stones, and it was just.
It also feels like a video game fetch quest.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it is.
Yeah, and
which
that's
is fine.
A common trope
I'm down for it.
In these kind of things.
Yeah.
But so we basically have him and that whole thing, and they explain the backstory. I don't know if you saw, this is an episode written by Robert Holmes. However, Robert Holmes did not write this beginning part. It kind of felt a little like off, like the dialogue. It just felt a little rough, and I didn't know if that was when I was watching it, if it was just because it's always in the long shot or what. But then I had heard or had read that Robert Holmes actually didn't write this piece, but it was written by, and I have it here, Anthony Reed and Graham Williams, I guess, wrote that scene. As far as the concept, I'm sure Robert Holmes was the one that came up with the White Guardian, Black Guardian piece. But as far
perhaps.
As scene,
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it worked back then, but that would be more of like a showrunner type, producer type thing to have the overall story arc instead of maybe the writer. I'm wondering, did this segment, was it written before?
Oh, I don't know what time
this,
it was
the
written.
Rest of the episode?
But I think Robert Holmes came up with this. As far as I know, it came up with this whole thing, and the Black Guardian and the White Guardian. So, what is the word I'm looking for? Don't know.
I
put words together for fun whenever I can.
What
else?
The Guardian puts him on this quest. He has to go find the six pieces of the Key of Time, which is used to balance the universe.
Yeah, that
so
whole thing
is it out of balance now? Why
he says like, and there's certain points in time when it becomes out of balance. They don't really explain why or like, but it happens
what
at this.
Means?
He says at this, this is the time when that such thing is happening. So therefore he's got to collect all of the pieces. And at the same time, the Black Guardian is collecting all the wants to collect all the pieces because the Black Guardian is going to tilt it towards evil, and the White Guardian, we are assuming, is either going to keep it in balance or tip it towards good or whatever. It's kind of very vague and weird, and they talk about how you can use it for a weapon. And for some reason, these things disguise themselves as something so that
or they were disguised by someone?
And it picks like the rarest, most valuable element in the universe.
That was
like,
weird.
That's the part people are going to look for. Like that. Yep.
It's not just one speck of sand on a beach.
Yeah, it could just
like
be
that,
an old rock.
No one would ever find it then.
An old sneaker hanging from a power line.
Well, the good thing is the Guardians are listening to this, so they're going to...
Right. So anyway, the part of this whole deal is that he has to get a new companion, and we meet Ramana. As he goes back into the TARDIS. Somehow
Ramana Vora Atralindar.
Like she just pops up in the TARDIS while he's talking. She's sort of the polar opposite, I think, of Leela. you know, we have her like 5 minutes just combing her hair. There's that one scene where she's just sitting and combing her hair. You're getting arrested. You shouldn't have brought up that Guardian stuff.
I set the house on fire just because I want the show to wrap up quickly so we have a time.
But I like the fact that she is fresh out of school and, you know, she doesn't have any street
smarts. She's a mere 140-something years old.
Yeah, and we find out how old the doctor is again. She mentions him being 759, I think, or 700.
And he says 756.
Right.
And we don't know if he's just wrong or maybe she says he lost track of time. Romana, she got recruited by the High Lord President of the Supreme Council to be his companion to help find the keys of time. When I was reading, it was indicated that was actually the Guardian impersonating the time, the Chief Lord President to put her there, which makes sense because why would the – if – the Guardian talked to the council and had them put her on them. Why not just have – anyway, it makes sense. So she just appears in the TARDIS. I guess that's a function of the Guardian. Just like, boom, there she is.
Now, did you see that she wasn't supposed to be a Romana either? Romana was created after Elizabeth Sladen passed. So this was going to be a Sarah Jane. That would have been amazing. But they had asked her – and she said no. Elizabeth Sladen said no. And therefore they...
Oh, passed on coming,
yeah, yeah. So,
on coming back to
yes.
do the episode.
So it would have been Tom Baker and Sarah... Or the Doctor and Sarah
that
Jane...
That would have been so good.
...doing this.
Are you kidding me? That would have been amazing.
Was that...
Wait,
although I like her.
So they were going to actually bring her back? Or this,
they were
this
bring her
was
back.
Written in a time
think,
when she was...
Yeah, I think it was going to... And then they created this character...
Oh, man.
You know, ...of Romana.
Okay, and that's fine. I mean, Romana is actually kind of interesting. She is the opposite of Leela, but she's also kind of the opposite of the Doctor. She's fresh out of the academy. She, you know, succeeded very well, so she's very much an academic there, where the Doctor is definitely more of an intuitive, crafty sort of guy. And it seemed like they actually kind of drew the starker contrast between them. It seemed to me that the Doctor was a little bit more bumbling in this episode than he has been in other instances where, you know, he's saying, you know, you have to be aware, expect the unexpected, and then turns around and gets caught in a trap, a net trap. Like, it's just these little moments where they're trying to draw that distinction between them. But yeah, she's definitely interesting.
Yes.
Wow, these are some insightful thoughts.
Well, that's how we break it down and we get to the truth. We just like cut through the nonsense and before we can start talking about that worst sleeping dinosaur that I've ever seen.
Oh,
so yeah, to get to the point, so we land on this, or they detect the, you know, she's got this wand, right? And the wand can detect where the pieces are. At the same time, it can convert the piece from its, hidden shape into the proper shape, whatever. They right. find it in two different locations. They find it in one system, and then it jumps to the other system.
Right.
The final system, it happens to be this planet of Rebos, which is it's almost like an ice planet, although I think later they talk about it also being warm. So it's got sort of like
two
seasons.
I think it's just winter. It's basically just winter.
No, but I think they mention it also having like a summer phase. So it's like winter all the time because
right.
they
right.
mention snow gods and fire gods, or you know, it's a very primitive civilization. Yeah. It's not like caveman primitive, but you know, it's sort of the dark
middle ages, yeah, superstitious. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So you are introduced right away to these two characters, which I thought were great. Like Robert Holmes has
the two con men.
Yeah, the two con men. Robert Holmes has like a really good way of writing these two kind of, you know, team characters. You saw that with The Talons of Wang Chiang, too, with that crew.
Yeah,
So they work well together. You've got, like, the... I'm going to forget their names here. But the main guy's Garen. Or Garrett?
Yep.
Garen. And, yeah,
Garen.
And then Unstoff, which is, like, the world's tallest sixth grader. Like, that guy just looked like... It was a child that had been transformed into a man with that hair.
Well, he has a very honest face.
He's got an honest face. And they're, you know, they're going to rip off.
It's a very, does it not feel like a very Shakespearean sort of pairing, the two of them?
Sure.
Like, the name alone, like, Unstaff
right.
feels like very Shakespearean. But just, like, that kind of, the pairing of the older guy, the younger guy, the fact that they're thieves. I don't know. It just felt very Shakespearean to me. I think a lot of this episode kind of read that way. I mean, later you get the heretic guy who's become right. homeless and ends
now,
up helping.
Now, I thought he was going to be the Black Guardian. Like, I was waiting for, like,
You were waiting for a twist.
When he took him into the catacombs, I was like, oh, he's going to turn out he's the Black Guardian. But he wasn't. He's just a guy who thought stars were the sun, and they ruined his teeth because of it. So that poor guy. But yeah, no, I totally get that vibe that you mentioned with the being like a Shakespearean type take. It's very interesting, too, that there's very little in the way of sets. I mean, you sort of have a castle, but you only ever are really on the roof of it and in that jewel chamber where they keep the crown jewels. And aside from that, it's the catacombs. I don't think you rarely ever see much of the rest of the castle other than the hallway.
You have the outdoor. You have the outdoor above the
The roof.
Crown jewels. You have the where the TARDIS lands. You have the crown jewel room.
And the catacombs, right?
The room outside it and the catacomb. Yeah, you're right.
And it's very strange, too, that civilization, because you have the guards, but they're also like religious leaders, too. Or at least there's sort of a religion going on. They're lighting the candles and they're doing sort of prayers or weird things with their jewels. Like, who's wearing those jewels? Is there a king? Is there a royalty? Yeah. They're sort of, you know, you don't see anyone other than...
That's never never mentioned.
Shive Captain? Or I forget what the guy's called. I looked it up. It said... Shreve Captain. Shreve? Let's spend all day just saying the name of it. It was basically the guy that puts the money in the city. He's the only guy that really has lines that's from that planet.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
I don't think they ever... Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Peter. So you've got Peter. Yep. You've got his crew, that seeker lady, who I thought was really cool. The clairvoyant lady.
You?
I did. Like, I like all the
screaming clairvoyant.
The creepy clairvoyant. She's like all into birds and stuff, and she's got makeup on her face and she's finding people. I love all that stuff. Like, I wanted her eyes to roll back in her head and she's going to locate someone for you.
Yep. Where are my keys? Yeah.
Like, I prefer her sort of to the homeless dude, Binro. I thought he was a little much.
Well, that was, I said earlier that there were some parts that could have been cut. He didn't need to be in this. Like, at all.
No, I guess it was just showing, you know, a future scientist getting that, someone telling him he's right and how much that meant to him.
Right.
That was sort of nice.
It made him into, like, a Galileo sort of thing. And that's fine, but it didn't really have anything to do with anything.
No.
I don't know. That could have just been cut entirely. Like, we could have lost an entire episode, and it would have been okay.
I do like the fact that...
Edit.
Yeah, there could have been a lot of edits. I agree. But just sticking with the whole con thing, I like the fact that the guy cons by selling planets, which seems like pretty elaborate. But it's working.
Ballsy.
Yeah, it's pretty ballsy. And that whole thing was sort of strange too, right? Because you have the mineral report that said, you know, all the minerals on
there.
There's
Jethric there,
and the guy's freaking out. But then it says the rights to the Jethric are still owned by.
The company that owns the planet
is
going to sell it to him. Well, there isn't.
Right,
though.
Right. No, I understand that he made the whole thing up. But the exiled tyrant dude, he had two names. Graf, we'll just call him Graf. Well, his plan is just to steal the Jethric as fast as he could and get off there before, like, if he's thinking another company owns this as many other systems and it's so valuable... I was like, why did they add?
I don't know.
Why
did
they add that other element of a company? Like, you didn't need that extra detail to the plot. He could have just sold him the planet and made it appear that Jethric was there by just having a big slab of Jethric, and he would have said, "There's Jethric here. There's probably Jethric everywhere," and then bought the planet.
I don't think that any of the. I don't think he ever actually. The con men, I don't think, ever intended to go through the entire sale. All they wanted was that deposit.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, why introduce that piece of fake evidence that had the mineral report? Saying that
because
it
would give them time to get away.
Company.
I thought it was just to entice him to actually want to buy the planet.
Yeah, I got that. I just
price.
Felt like,
and then no, I know he was overcomplicating the
right. So why, you know, was he just going to set up a mining operation and hope to God the people that actually own it don't show back up? Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, because the part of the deal was you weren't allowed to mine. Said that they would retain the rights to mining. It was very strange.
I'm not entirely clear.
And
what was
that dinosaur
there,
dog, guard dog. What was? Come on.
So at first, though, okay. So when the when Garon and Unstaff, was that right?
I think.
So when you first see them, and Unstaff's going to go in, and you think steal the jewels, but instead actually plant the Jethric, he throws down the meat to sedate the creature, when you see that for the first time, you only see like a little bit of its profile and like the face a little bit, and it actually looked pretty cool. I actually wrote my notes. It's like, oh man, that's actually
it's
a really good effect.
It's when you see it running
across. And then when you see it's clearly just a guy on his hands and knees. In one of the worst costumes. Really, really bad. And it's roaring. So they have the roaring sound effect of this horrifying beast, and you see it opening and closing its mouth, and you could just hear it kind of flopping together.
Yeah, the guy's like, help me. I'm not getting paid enough for this.
Yeah. I don't think it was paid. So, yeah, that was
yeah, and then you end up, you know, with I know you mentioned that there was like too many things or things that could get cut, but it felt like it moved pretty quickly because before you know it, they're in the catacombs, right? So the what's his name? What's the Shritna, the bad dude?
Graf Vindicae.
So Graf figures out that his room is bugged, that he's immediately suspicious that something's going on. He ends up capturing the doctor. And Romana and
thinking that he's
and
that they're accomplices.
Right. And Unstaff, the honest face, world's tallest sixth grader, whatever, he gets away with the Jethric and he hides in the catacombs. And before we know it, we're in the catacombs, they're searching for him in the catacombs, everybody's killed, and again, just like, you know, Shakespearean where there's a prophecy that only one of you will get out. That part was kind of cool too. The prophecy bit. He's gonna
only one of you is gonna get out. So then the Graf tries to actually make the prophecy come true by killing everyone except him and the last guard. Can we just pause on that for a minute? So yeah. So the Graf says the only one will survive. Kill, kill, kill. You're my last guard. I'm gonna give you an honorable chance to have an honorable death. So he gives him some thermite to kill himself. Weird. Does the old switcheroo. The Graf goes off looking for his...
The first thing, Graf goes off crazy.
Crazy! Crazy! Shalak to me! Then talking about old wars, and it was crazy eyes going on there. And then he explodes. It was the doctor doing the switcheroo. Right. The doctor straight up murdered him.
Oh, he did, yeah. He's got no problem. I think
he does, though. Okay, so like then the only line the doctor has... Yeah. The only line the doctor has is no guns. I will poison you. I will explode you. I will strangle you with my bare hands, but no guns.
That guy dies.
I don't. It's
weird.
He's
a terrible guy.
I mean,
but speaking
of the doctor or the Graf?
Yeah, both of them. No.
Okay.
The doctor's the best. Well, since we're already at the end, and I think we're kind of all over the place, and that's fine. The why can't I have? I'm having so much trouble with these names. The Shreve captain. And his crew, they blow up the entrance to the catacombs, supposedly sealing everyone inside. I got that right.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden they get out. How do they get out? How does the doctor and everyone get out? They just cut and they're at the TARDIS and everything's fine.
So my assumption, there's two things.
They mention maybe another exit, but you don't find it. Yeah.
Right. So that's why what's his name? Ribos?
Ribos is the name of the planet.
Okay, so the planet says the heretic. Binro. Binro. See, I don't know why I can't understand these very common names. So Steve and Peter end up going down to the catacombs. And because he says, there's got to be a way out because these creatures obviously hunt, so there's a way out. The other is K-9 has a rock melter.
Yeah, that's true.
As part of his nose cannon. So I mean, I guess. Right. By the way, Romana trying to free Garen from behind that collapsed rock when she pushes on it, like basically with her pinky fingers. Like, oh, it's just too hard.
Let's talk about Romana too. There is a very weird scene when they're in the catacombs, and all three of them like are lying. There's
weird
Romana sandwich with like
they're all hugging.
They're all on top of each other, and the other guy's hands are going around. It was very strange. It was like there's probably other places where you guys can all have your own spot, but they're all
they could. What you don't see if the camera pulled back, there was plenty of room everywhere. But they decided
like the Skyrim looking tombs that they were in. But I thought that was very strange.
Yeah.
So what else we got?
So. Well, there are a couple things. So, really small things, but what else we got? So, I'm kind of done with the doctor hypnotizing people.
Yeah, that happened.
The psychic paper is a good way to to do that quickly and not have to pull out a friggin'
pocket watch.
Gold watch every time. So I'm cannot wait till that's over in this series. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, in the beginning, I just thought this was ironic and probably hopefully intentional. But when they're Romana and the Doctor have been introduced, they're in the TARDIS still. He says something along the lines regarding the core, that little divining rod stick. Yeah. She says, never touch, never trust gimmicky gadgets at the beginning. And then throughout the entire episode, it's nothing but the communicator, the eavesdropping bug, the core itself.
Right, they're using nothing but gadgets.
I just thought it was interesting. Did anyone
No sonic screwdriver in this episode at all.
Yes, was there was.
When did he use it?
Yes, and Romana was duly impressed by it. That was how they got into the crown jewel room.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
So he opened it with that. She was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." So yeah, that's another gadget. And then he was trying to use it to get into the cabinet that was that held the crown jewels, but it had some multi interleave something or other that made it hard for him to get through.
So by the conclusion, everyone is killed that had gone into the catacombs except for our heroes and the con men, who we assume get the ship of the exiled tyrant. So they're off on their own adventures. So, you know, I don't know if we see them again, but we could. And then they go home.
Yeah.
One thing about Canine.
But they do a little switcheroo there as well, which is kind of cute.
One thing about Canine, he sort of is like... You forget he, or I did, you forget he's even in the story and all the abilities that he has. And all of a sudden, like at the end, when they could have used him like three times before, he just comes rolling by and just like, you know, zaps bad guys, or like they should be rolling around with him the whole time.
They should be carrying him or the thing that he shoots with.
Carrying him like a little baby, like with one of those pouches and just giving him what he needs.
A little Bjorn. A little Bjorn on the front.
Little Bjorn.
It's either that or just hold him like a freaking weapon that he is.
I mean he's very powerful. He uses that, like you mentioned, destroying
the
rocks, and like he could pretty much just roll him through. I mean, I forgot he was in it, and I think it's like the third episode he just is in the catacombs.
Right. I mean, they set it up with the dog whistle in the beginning and then bringing him back. I don't know. It's definitely one of those like convenient story things.
It's like they almost don't want to have him, but they're just keeping him on. Because the kids...
Well, apparently they weren't going to actually bring K-9 back. That season 15 was going
to
be the last with
K-9. Because the prop was so hard to use or something.
The prop was notoriously breaking down and difficult to shoot with. But it was a very popular character with the kids.
Right.
Because the show has such broad appeal. So they rigged up a new version and was supposed to be much more reliable.
Cool. So anything? Do you have anything to add to the Rebos operation? I think we covered
everything.
No, I
think this is really cool. I mean, it ends with the Doctor saying, one down, five to go. So we're part of the way through the fetch quest already, which is cool.
Yeah, and they convert it, and it turns into sort of like a cool-looking piece for...
piece of lucite. Not lucite. What's that
glass?
Called? No. Acrylic? It's the 70s, dude.
I don't know.
Acrylic.
But anyway, what do you got? You got anything else? Romana, thumbs up so far. It's cool.
So far, yeah. Interesting.
It's got to grow. I mean, it's like the first episode, so there's still they haven't quite gelled, although they did not. She doesn't like she stands out as being a bad thing, but I think
I think that they're definitely trying to play up the differences and make it more of a contentious relationship from the outset than you typically do with a companion, but it wasn't his choice of companion, so that's to be expected. Yeah, no, I think she'll be very interesting. I want her to brush her hair for an entire episode.
Get yourself a Romana doll.
Just luscious.
Brush your hair.
Yeah.
All right. So what? That's it.
Cool.
Right? We done?
Good episode.
We both liked it.
Well, we have. Yeah, I'm done with this episode. I think we give it two thumbs. Do we do that?
No, we just change it every
time. So we do, however, have a thumbs up in the form of an iTunes review.
Because if you are a fan of this show, please share. Share it with people.
Share your love.
Another way that you can promote the show, subscribe to it, download the episodes, and as Dan's about to say, you can review the episode on iTunes, and that helps us a great deal. And we do have someone that did it. So, Dan, why don't you read that,
to us? Okay, let me pull this up. For some reason, and I know this is a sore point for Eric, we have several reviews that show up in the iTunes
app. But they don't make it to the website.
What's important is they are in the app because it does increase our visibility so we can get more people listening to our blathering, which is great. So this is a review by Stunt Biker Pro Not. The title is The Ultimate Classic Who Podcast. 5 stars. Thank you, Stunt Biker Not.
Tim B.
Tim B. It says at the end, I was saving that up. He says, always a great time with these guys. Thank you, Tim B. Whether you're new to Classic Who or spent the 70s, 80s, and 90s watching it, like I unfortunately did, that I'm interested in hearing more about, Tim. Please write in and tell us more about this. Why you say unfortunately. This is the Classic Who show for you. Enjoy it, Tim B. Yeah.
So everyone be more like Tim
B. I can understand. I mean, the 90s were probably a lean time for the Doctor Who, other than the movie, which we have to watch. So, Tim, if you want to tell us some more, you should go to the old DoctorWhoShow.com and drop us a line. But that's really
that's
cool.
That's awesome that you did that. And you can also send us the old Doctor Who Show at gmail.com if you prefer straight email to communicate with us.
Yep.
We have a Facebook page, which we mentioned. So
we do.
Please like that, because we're always going to...
We're going to start, as we've done, we've only had this up for a few weeks, but we're going to post stuff between and before our new episodes. So you guys have a little taste of what's coming up.
And then
we'll try to make that more interesting with additional stuff.
And anything
stuff
you post on there, we will read or answer here. So if you have a question about an episode we're about to review or one we have reviewed, feel free to comment there. If you're not into iTunes and you're using Google Play, is that what it's called? The Google Play?
Yep.
We're now on the Google Podcast app. Which
I'm looking at it on their website now at play.google.com. I don't even see any podcasts here at all. They have apps, music, TV. So it may or may not have really launched yet. I think it's actually rolling out to the Android app first in waves, and then it'll get updated elsewhere.
If you are interested, I know I did post a link to it from our Facebook page. So, actually, you're right, because I just clicked the link that I had posted that did work, and now it's gone.
Yeah.
All right. Google.
So I think they're still
with some of this stuff. They got
to
like
roll out there.
Stick with products and make them work instead of just starting a new one every couple months. Sorry, Google, but it's true. You gotta just stick with something and get it going. You know. All right. So that's it. Right. Do we have anything else that we want to add? I'm on.
That's it.
I'm
folks.
On the internet at ericgrissom.com. You are on Twitter at
DanJNJ.
And I did start using I know I've talked at length here about how much I get given up on Twitter and I don't use Twitter, but I've been using it again, just writing things and then, you know, it's fun.
Yeah. Next we have the Pirate Planet arc that is going to be going up on May 25th of 2016, in case you're listening to this from the past or the future.
Yeah. And
so if you want to check that out, we have our affiliate link there, so you can buy it if you want to. I am going to definitely be buying all of these entire arc because I like continuity.
Now, when you bought it individually, so you only bought the one episode. Before we started recording, I talked about how there's a DVD set you can get for like $60. You get all of them. Do they have a digital bundle of all of them?
So I'm buying them from
Apple, right?
The iTunes store on my Apple TV. It gives me individual stories. So this was a four episode.
So they don't have a bundle.
You can buy the four together. It didn't seem like it. They do bundles on iTunes where it's like the best of this doctor, or you know.
I'm surprised they don't.
It's not great,
you know,
in that way.
They don't just do that.
What is nice though, I noticed on the Apple TV, at least on the newer Apple TV, when you go to look at these seasons, if you scroll through it, they're in order, and you see like little thumbnails of each of the individual stories. So that's kind of cool. So it was, you know, Rybos Operation followed by Pirate Planet followed by Stones of Blood. So that's kind of cool because we can see where we're going, and they're all there. So
and one note about Pirate Planet that is written by Douglas Adams.
I'm even more excited right now. That's awesome. Dirk Gently, actually. I like Dirk Gently much better than...
That's a show now? Is that going to be a show or something?
Is it? I don't know if it is.
I know it's a comic book, but I think that they're doing...
Well, no, it was a book. It was a book to begin with.
Yeah,
it's a novel.
But I know that they did like a comic book of it. IDW did it. I think it's going to be either a movie or a TV series now.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, I just find that... I love Hitchhiker's Guide. It's fantastic, but... This is a lesser-known one compared
on the
to
BBC,
that.
But
and I just think it's so
it good. Is Dirk Gently on the BBC. I just looked it up. I think it started already, or it's starting in July.
What?
This July.
It's airing
last
in July.
July. I'm like,
it's airing in
do you
last
watch
July.
How my brain works? I'm like, Thursday, July 9th, 2015. That's last year. So I guess it's already a thing that's happened. So if you have watched Dirk Gently, and it looks like it's the guy from Spy is in it, who I love.
The guy from Spy.
Did you ever see that Spy? It was a BBC show about an MI agent. I think he was like an unemployed dude, and he goes to get a job, and he ends up becoming a spy by accident. It's very funny.
That happened.
The guy was in Saxondale, and I should know.
It wasn't The Wrong Man's, right? Okay, you think Spy.
No, Spy, S-P-Y, not the movie that came out.
Is it London Spy?
No, just Spy. I'm glad we're working this out.
Is it Spy with a Y? Okay, I'm sorry,
Spy,
guys.
With a Y, yeah, Spy, great. 2011 TV series, British comedy.
Gotcha. I see it.
It is starring Darren Boyd. That's the guy I think I'm thinking of.
And he will be doing Dirk
So if you haven't seen the show Spy, it's great. You should watch it. I don't know how, because now you can't really.
You should listen to our podcast review of Spy.
But anyway, Darren Boyd is also in Dirk Gently. And he is.
So Douglas Adams is the point of the Pirate Planet. Boy, that went off the rails. Okay, guys, anything else that you want to
let's just keep
slide down any other tangents?
Clicking on stuff and just start reading whenever
hey,
I
Eric,
see.
Would you read
just
the internet
start
to me?
Clicking. And actually, the guy that is in Dirk Gently was also from the show Episodes, I believe, on Showtime.
Oh, that's a good show.
There you go. So that's it. So we'll see you again in 3 weeks for Pirate Planet. Please share.
Tell your friends. Tell your family.
Friends. We're making progress here. We've got 6 reviews.
We are really.
Now we're up to 8 because you can do a review without writing a review.
Yep.
So we're on our way.
And we do. Our listenership is growing. So the more of you, the better. Yep.
And if you want to support the show, buy a DVD. Buy it through the thing, and we can actually hopefully use
if you
that
really
money.
Want to support the show,
we can use that money to buy the digital copies of it. But they would have to be through Amazon, so you might not be happy about that.
Nah, no worries. But what you can really do if you want to support the show is comment on our Facebook, comment on iTunes, send us an email at theolddoctorwhoshow@gmail.com. That's the best way to make us the happiest. All right.
I'll see you later.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone. I'm ready to go to bed now.
I'm so tired.
I just don't feel
so
well. My energy was so off.
Your energy was awesome. I'm still recording this.
Okay, we'll leave it.
Outside your door.